thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
The title that I've been given this morning is very relevant. You probably said this, or you've thought of it, or you've heard of it, been said about don't miss the boat. Don't miss the boat. Don't miss out. Maybe you would turn with me, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 20. Just going to read a few verses there, just to begin with. John 20, and verse 18 we'll pick it up at. Of course, this is straight after the resurrection. And in verse 18, we're picking it up. Chapter 20, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Verse 24. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Thomas had missed the boat. For whatever reason, we don't know, Scripture is silent on this point, but he wasn't there. He missed the boat. Verse 26, we pick it up again. And John, the apostle who's writing this gospel account, says that after 8 days, his disciples were again inside. We're presuming it's the same room that they were in. Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and he stood in the midst and he said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, the man who had originally missed the boat, the man who had missed out but was there the second time, "Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's you and me this morning, because we haven't seen Jesus with our physical eye, and yet we believe in him. Verse 30, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." In those last 4 or 5 verses, we have the word either believe, believing, or believed 6 times. If you were to sum John's gospel up in one word, it would be believe. That is the whole impetus, the whole reason why John is writing his gospel account of the life and the death and the ascension of Jesus Christ, is that we would believe. Thomas missed the boat the first time, but he didn't miss it the second time. And I didn't plan to say this morning. There might be some things that are not scripted. And I just felt this morning during communion, that lovely time when we were sensing God's presence, that there are some people who are here this morning, perhaps even might be listening on Zoom. There could be a good few this morning, or who might pick the podcast up at a later date, who you feel that you've missed the boat. You feel that you've missed something. You feel that you've missed your chance, you've missed your opportunity. Whatever that may look like, I don't know. But for you, you've been saying to yourself, or you've been feeling recently, that you've missed the boat and that there's no way back. You feel that you've burnt your bridges. And the Lord would say to you this morning, that is not the case. Thomas missed the boat the first time that Jesus appeared post-resurrection to the disciples. But he didn't miss the boat the second time because he was determined that he would meet Jesus the second time. I don't know what sort of films you like. This film here, I think, is a masterclass in comedy, Planes, Trains and Automobiles. Planes, Trains, Automobiles, Boats, Take Us Somewhere, Jimmy said that we're all on a journey. And that is so true. Every single one of us, even though you're seated this morning, you're on a journey. But all these modes of transport take us on an adventure. They take us somewhere. They take us to new places so that we can experience new things. Of course, this is Dale and Neil. Their flight gets diverted to Canvas during a blizzard, and then begins a hilarious three-day trip of adventures, or misadventures, should we say, as they try to get home for Thanksgiving. It's a masterclass in comedy from what must be two of the most funniest guys around, John Candy and Steve Martin, of course. John Candy since deceased. It proves that circumstances often conspire to make us miss out on things, that we miss the boat. Don't miss the boat. Don't miss the blessing. Received an email this week from what would be my boss's boss's boss, Chris Cartwright, who would be our general superintendent of the Elam movement. And it was an email from his secretary to do with the Elam Leaders Summit, which is in May. Every year there is a summit, a conference, which the pastors and leaders will go to, series of meetings. But the real reason is that the business end of the movement is discussed in the afternoons. And here's what part of the email said. I thought it was very interesting. The theme for this year's summit is awakening. As we believe, we are witnessing the beginning of a fresh season of the Holy Spirit awakening across the nation and the nations. Chris continues to say that God is awakening his people once again to the urgency of the times, the promise of the harvest, and the fresh enabling power and presence of his Holy Spirit. Against the backdrop of an increasingly secular and hostile culture, people are coming to faith in Christ all around us. And he finishes by saying, we long for a trickle to become a flood. We long for a trickle to become a flood. I don't know what your heart's telling you at the moment. I don't know what God is saying to you at the moment. I don't know what the Holy Spirit is impressing upon you as an individual. But our hearts should be longing for the trickle to become a flood. Our heart's cry and our heart's desire should be that God, the Holy Spirit, would move upon us and in among us and through us and out through us like never before. I was talking to a friend yesterday, late afternoon. He's preaching in another Elam church this morning. He's not a pastor. And he was telling me that he's going to speak on a guy who I'd never heard of before. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't heard of him. He's buried in, not buried, but he's found in Exodus 13, a guy called Bezalel, B-A-Z-A-L-E-L, Bezalel. He was a man whom God chose to aid in the construction of the tabernacle, the holy tent where God dwelt in the midst of his people in the Old Testament. And I couldn't but help look him up, because I'd never heard of him before. And this is the first person in the Bible where we're told that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The first person that God filled with the Holy Spirit. He was an obscure artist, an entrepreneur named Bezalel. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "See, I have filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God and have given him the skill, the ability and the knowledge to do all kinds of works." As I read into the narrative of Exodus 31, I told you it was 13, I beg your pardon, it's 31. He was called and he was endowed by God to direct the construction of the tent of meeting and its sacred furniture, and also to prepare the priest's garments and the oil and the incense required for the service. All of these elements were essential in the meeting place, the tent, the dwelling of God. He was in charge of the holy oils, the incense, and the priestly vestments. And I couldn't help but think that if Bezalel, if he needed the Holy Spirit, if he needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit to help construct physical things, the physical dwelling place, the tent, the presence of God, the tabernacle, and those things within it, how much more do we today in the 21st century, how much more do we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can be endowed and strengthened, so that we can build his kingdom here in the 21st century? Last week, as I've referred, and many of you will know that it was our Shine Ladies Conference. It was a blessing to so many. I had the privilege of sitting in a couple of times during the afternoon session. There was a few men, and we thanked them so much for serving our ladies during the day. And I had a few moments where I sat in just at the back. And I think it was at the time where Helen was asking different ladies just to minister to one another and to sing to one another, etc., etc. I'm not quite sure just what she was asking them to do. But this lady who's not from our church, who I've never had a conversation with before, I knew who she was, she obviously knew who I was, came straight over to me and looked at me in the eye and said to me that God is going to do great things in Ballymoney Elam. On Monday morning, I got a text message from somebody in church who had not been at the conference, but had been out on the Sunday morning, and this is part of what they said. "I certainly know that yesterday felt like a significant day in church. It was very clear that the Spirit of God was very much at work." And here's what the person continued to say. "As a teenager and a young adult in Ballymoney Elam, days like yesterday," which was last Sunday morning, "were days that I longed and prayed for, and I'm sure there were many others the same as me." God was just saying the same thing to me through different people, day after day after day. But here's how this person finished their text message. "There will always be elements of resistance to change." There will always be elements of resistance to change. Can I say this with a loving heart? Don't miss the boat. Please don't miss what God has for you, because you don't want to see change. Please, please, please don't miss the boat. Somebody else said to Esther and myself that they believed that God was saying it's a day of new things. It's a day of new things. We had a lovely time on Tuesday night. The weather wasn't great. We still had a reasonable number out to our Bible study. A good friend of mine, a pastor and colleague in ministry, Pastor Phil Seifert from Donaghcloney, Elam, come up. He'd written a couple of books through lockdown, and he came up and he shared about it. And just a wee snippet of what he said, I wrote it down. I just had to write it down in my notes on my phone. And he said this. He said, the church should be full of anticipation. The church should be full of anticipation. Well, are we? Are we full of anticipation for what God is going to do? And if not, why not? About 2 weeks ago, Esther and I got an opportunity to go up to the port for a couple of hours. You know, it's one of our favourite places. It's our happy place. And yes, we were in a coffee shop. And yes, we were drinking coffee. And yes, we did buy a bun. And we were sitting at the very, very back of Awaken. And friends of ours who we hadn't seen for a very, very long time, they don't go to this church, they're not Elam, but we've known them for a long time, came in. And they sat with us for about a half an hour. We had a couple of visits to do shortly after that. And unfortunately, we couldn't stay with them and chat longer because the conversation was just fantastic. And the lady had said that she was heading off that afternoon to visit someone, funny enough, in Lurgan. And then the next day that she would be somewhere around in Enniskillen going to a conference. And she said this, I think I might have mentioned it perhaps last week, maybe in a prayer, I'm not quite sure. But she said this. She said, God wants rivers, not ponds. God wants flowing rivers, not stagnant ponds. I love the water. I absolutely love the water. I don't like getting into the water. It's too wet. It's too cold. But I love the water. I know there's a few of you go swimming. I think Robert and Paul and a few others go into the ocean. I don't know how you do that. But anyhow. I just love the sound. I love the smell of the seaweed when you're at the ocean. I love rivers and I love to see the sea. I'm not so fussed on those ponds that get stagnant and manky, stinky, smelly. They're not very nice, sure they're not. God wants rivers, not ponds. Satisfy us with your love. Can I ask a question? Are we satisfied? Or are we dissatisfied? Can I suggest that we need to be both? Can I suggest that we need to be content with our lot? It's biblical, isn't it? Godliness with contentment is great gain. We do need to be contented and satisfied people because we know who we are in God. We know what he's done and we're excited about what he's going to do. But can I also say, guys, we've got to be totally dissatisfied. We have got to be so dissatisfied with where we are, with what we're doing. We've got to be so dissatisfied and so horrified with what's going on out there in the world, a world that's lost and dying and hurting, and most of them don't know the answer. They're seeking for something, but they don't know what they're looking for. They don't have the answer, but we do. We have got the remedy. We have got the answer. We have got the solution to them being satisfied And so let's continue to be dissatisfied with where we are, with what we're doing, that we will do more for the kingdom. I learned a new word yesterday. It's called shrinkflation. Anyone heard of it? No? Yeah, one or two of you. Shrinkflation. Supermarkets and manufacturers must be more open about so-called shrinkflation and skimpflation. You know where it's going. Consumer group Which said it was inundated when it asked shoppers for examples of products which were smaller or had fewer key ingredients. You know all about it when you go to the shop, don't you? Included boxes of tea bags and sausages with less pork. The British Retail Consortium says retailers are trying to limit rising costs as production costs increase. Which picked out the following examples of shrinkflation. I'm only going to quote you four. Listerine Fresh Burst Mouthwash shrunk from 600ml to 500ml. At Tesco's, it also went up by 52p. Anyhow, keep rinsing. PG Tips Tasty Decaf Pyramid Tea Bags went from containing 180 bags to 140 at a number of supermarkets. Phil, I guess it's a treasure. That's the decaf tea bags out the window now. Kettle chips, sea salt and crushed black peppercorn crisps shrunk from being 150 grams to 130. Anyhow, are we shrinking? Are we shrinking in our desire for God? Are we shrinking in our work for God? Maybe you'll turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. I'm reading from the NIV, so if you're reading it from your phone or your iPad, you can probably click on and change the translation if you've got a Bible and just want to listen to it or read it in your own version. That's grand. Hebrews 10 verse 35 talks about shrinkflation. Believe it or not. Hebrews 10:35. Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. My righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Verse 35 says, don't throw away your confidence, for you will be richly rewarded. Verse 36 says, you need to persevere. You need to keep at it. You need to keep going, keep doing what you're doing, so that you will receive what God has promised. Verse 39, do not belong to those who shrink back, but to those who have faith. May there be no shrinkflation in our walk with God, no shrinking back, no compromise. Keith Green, who was a phenomenal singer, songwriter, died way before his time, died, I think, in a plane crash with one or two of his children. There's a book written about him. No compromise. No compromise. Most of you probably know that in a previous life that I was a car salesman for my sins. Used to work for the family business for about 25 years. I remember one time, the group was quite big at one stage. I think it might have been perhaps about the third largest privately owned car garage group in Northern Ireland many, many years ago. I think it's about 40 years ago. And the managers from all the branches would have come together for a meal or a coffee once a month, and they would have compared their performances And then my dad, who was the chief executive, would have got up and given them one of those big talks that you get. You know, one of those kind of, I don't know, wee bit but like what I'm trying to do this morning. You know, rally the troops. And he said this, he says, we've sold the company bus. And one by one, the managers, do you hear what he said? And we didn't have a bus. We're into selling cars. My dad said this. He says, we've sold the company bus. Now, he's speaking to managers here. He says, we're going to have no more passengers. Mark Miller is a driver for TransLink. Now, if he'd no more passengers, I don't think he'd have a job, Mark, because you need the passengers to get on. But my dad was making the point to the managers so that they would go back and that they would motivate the staff and the employees, because a business has to be lean. Business is tough no matter what you're doing. You can't carry passengers. Everyone has to do their job and do it effectively and do it efficiently and do it right so that profit is made, so that jobs will be maintained. And so that's the cycle of business. A couple of months ago, Esther and I decided one Monday afternoon after toddlers, try and take a Monday off, as most of you know, that we would take that lovely scenic train route from Coleraine to Londonderry, which we did. We'd on the train, we had our coffee, and just looked out the window like Darby and Joan, and we landed in Derry, Londonderry. And I think we had 10 minutes till it turned around, and we didn't go far, we just walked outside. I took a few photographs, is it the River Foyle perhaps, and a few of the bridges, went back into the terminal, and then on the tannoy this message came up, and it said, train leaving the station in 5 minutes. Mark, this one's down to you. We had a conversation, Mark and I, last Sunday night. I think we're maybe the last two or three to go out of church. And we're talking a wee bit about what we're talking about this morning, and so excited about what we believe God is doing among us and what God wants to do. And I think it was Mark who said, the train's leaving the station. He doesn't want anyone to get left behind. Folks, don't miss the boat. Don't miss the blessing. You all probably know who that is. Clive, that doesn't look very much like you. Sure it doesn't. I was sitting beside Clive on Thursday afternoon. We had the privilege and the pleasure of being with Anne and Geoffrey and the family during the beautiful service of Thanksgiving for her parents. Clive has a beautiful voice. I'm just saying. That right, Sandra? And sitting beside him, there's a few others from the church who were able to get there. And I says to him, hey boy, you didn't tell me you could sing. He says, you didn't ask. Fair point. What is it that we're not asking God for? Do we need to ask God for more? Yeah? More? More of what? So many ladies, in chatting to Esther and myself during the Saturday and during the Sunday, were just saying, we want more. I don't. Maybe this is something that Helen had said. Maybe it was a wee theme. I don't know. We want more. What do we want more of? We want more of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We want more of lives that are completely changed. We want more souls saved. We just want more. Bringing this to a close, folks. I just wonder before we play this last video, short video, so we reel, how hungry are we? It's amazing what a couple of custard creams will do. I know there's a lot of farmers. You can probably knock that off now, Dave. Thanks. That sheep wasn't taking no for an answer. That sheep just bullied itself, didn't it? Right to where those cream crackers were. Weren't cream, custard creams. Custard creams. Custard creams. It was the song, I Just Can't Get Enough. Can I say this reverently this morning as I do finish? Are we getting enough of God? How hungry are we for more? More trickles turning into floods. More stagnant ponds becoming mighty flowing rivers. Just more and more and more of God the Holy Spirit moving in our midst, moving in and through our lives. More of Him and less with us. Folks, don't miss the boat. And if you're unsaved, and we say it every Sunday morning, especially when we come round the table, if you're unsaved this morning, don't think that you've missed the boat, because you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, and we would urge you not to delay any longer. Don't miss the boat anymore. Join us. Join this wonderful army, this beautiful church family. Give your heart to the Lord and start an amazing journey. An amazing, phenomenal journey that we're all on. We're all on different parts of the journey. I understand that. I know we're not all on the same page. But folks, let's look for more. Thank you so much. I pray that you'll receive that in the spirit that is given. God bless. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelim.com.